I think during the Passover season, we really need to know who the true God, the true Lord, the true Jesus Christ really is. And we need to know it beyond any shadow of a doubt, period, that when we partake of the Passover symbols, that we know that it represents our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We find that there are many false Christ that are predicted, as you read in Matthew 24 and verse 24, for false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And so we must know who the true Christ is. Biblical scholars estimate there is somewhere between 300 and 400 Old Testament prophecies that are directly filled by Jesus Christ. And to go through all 400 today, we're going to have to put on our track shoes. No, actually, I have chosen 44 different ones that I did want to go through. It gets to be a little laborious, but I think we need to have this background. I do not know that I, at least I can't remember, that I have ever seen a list of the various prophecies that Jesus Christ fulfilled. But I thought it would be helpful during this season to go through these 44, and so we can see the fulfillment of it, we can see the prophecy itself, and so forth. Number one, the Messiah would be born of a woman. You see the prophecy in Genesis 3 and verse 15, and if you notice on the screen, there's a P, and then it says equal. The P stands for prophecy. That's the prophecy. And then as we're going to see on the next slide in a few minutes, it says F for fulfillment. Some of them have two Ps. There are two prophecies, and some have two Fs and so forth. But anyway, the Messiah would be born of a woman, Genesis 3 and verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her seed and your seed. And or your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And then the fulfillment we read in Matthew 1 and verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Also fulfillment of that prophecy is Galatians 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. The second prophecy. I think probably by the time we get through 44 of these, you're going to think we did the 400. The Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, specifically where he was to be born. The prophecy in Micah 5 and verse 2, it says, But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old and from everlasting. The fulfillment we read in Matthew 2 and verse 1, Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Then a fulfillment as well in Luke 2 and verses 4 through 6. Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in the country of Galilee to the town of Bethlehem. It was known as the city of David. He went there because he was from the family of David. Joseph went to have his and Mary's names written in the books of the nation. In other words, he went because of a census that was taken. Mary was his promised wife and soon to become a mother. And while they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to give birth to her baby. Number three, prophecy says the Messiah would be born of a virgin. In Isaiah 7 and verse 12, it says, Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. We read about the fulfillment in Matthew 1 and verses 22 and 23. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Also in Luke, the first chapter, and verse 26, Luke 1 and verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. I guess so. Probably scare you half to death. And considered what manner of greeting this was. And I mentioned in a sermon recently that was a very odd greeting to a young woman who probably had never even so much as been kissed. Then the angel said unto her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Number four, the Messiah would come through the line of Abraham. The prophecy in Genesis 12 and verse 3, he told Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. And that was, of course, through Jesus Christ. The prophecy in Genesis, the 22nd chapter and verse 18, In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice, because Abraham obeyed him. Then we read about the fulfillment in Matthew 1 and verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So he did descend through the lineage of Abraham. Also in fulfillment of Romans 9 and verse 5. Of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all the eternally blessed God. Amen. And of course, the forefathers were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The fifth prophecy that Jesus fulfilled from the Old Testament is the Messiah would be of the line of Isaac, and specifically come down through him. And I do believe that God chose that because Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac, which was a type of course, God's willingness to sacrifice his son. The prophecy in Genesis 17 and verse 9, Then God said, No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. Also in Genesis 21 and verse 12, said, But God said to Abraham, Do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for Isaac, your seed, shall be called. And then we find the fulfillment in Luke 3, and verse 34, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor. And it gives the genealogy there, going back, of course, to Isaac, to Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham, and then Terah. Number six, Jesus would be a descendant of Judah. He would come from the house of the Jews. The prophecy in Numbers 24 and verse 17, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and batter the brow of Moab, and destroy all of the sons of tumult. And we find the fulfillment in Matthew 12 and verse 2. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah and his brothers. And of course, this is talking about the genealogy here of Christ. Number 7, the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. I said number 6, I think I said Judah, but it was Jacob. Number 7, the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. The prophecy in Genesis 49 and verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh, or peace, comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. In other words, that they would obey him when he does come. And the fulfillment in Luke 3 and verse 33, the son of Abinahad, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah. And of course, he did come through the line of Judah. He was a Jew. Christ was not a priest of the Levitical priesthood, though, and I'll get into that later. We also have the fulfillment in Hebrews 7 and verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood, because he was not a priest of the tribe of Levi. He was a priest, as we'll see, of the tribe, not the tribe, but of Melchizedek. Number 8, the Messiah would be the heir to King David's throne, that he would inherit it. The prophecy in 2 Samuel 7 and verse 12 through 13. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Also in Isaiah 9 and verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward evermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It was a prophecy, and he said it would come to pass. And we do read the fulfillment of that in Luke 1 and verse 32 and 33. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Also in Romans 1 and verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Number 9, the Messiah's throne will be anointed and will be eternal. In Psalm 45 and verses 6 and 7, we read the prophecy, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and you hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. I love that expression there, that Jesus Christ was anointed with the oil of gladness, even though all of the sorrow, all of the pain, all of the suffering that he had to go through, he did it with joy because he knew that it would forgive your sins and open the opportunity for you to be born into God's family. In Luke 1 and verse, Daniel 2 and verse 44, I left that out. And in the days of the kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. In other words, he's going to be King of kings and Lord of lords with an eternal kingdom. The fulfillment in Luke 1 and verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Also, fulfillment in Hebrews 1 and verses 8 through 12. But to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And in verse 10, you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. Number 10, the Messiah will be called Emmanuel. The prophecy in Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. You read about the fulfillment in Matthew, the first chapter, in verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Number 11, Jesus is prophesied to spend time in Egypt. In Hosea 11 and verse 1, and also Jeremiah, but I don't have that one in here. Hosea 11 and verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The fulfillment in Matthew 2 and verse 14 through 15. When he arose, I took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Number 12, it was prophesied a massacre of children would happen at the Messiah's birthplace. Jeremiah 31 and verse 15. Thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more. They were all killed and massacred. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah, the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, and lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And in Matthew 2 and verse 16 through 18, we read about that fulfillment, which is absolutely horrible, of course. Matthew 2 and verse 16. And Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth to put to death all of the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all of his districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, and so forth. So we find that was the fulfillment of a very horrible prophecy. And as I mentioned in a sermon very recently, that there was no children in the land within 2 years of Christ's age. If he went to school, he was there by himself. As far as that age group, he was the only one. Number 13, a messenger would prepare the way for the Messiah. The prophecy in Isaiah 40 and verses 3 through 5, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Then in Luke, we find a fulfillment in chapter 3 and verses 3 through 6. And he went into the region around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance and remission of sin. And of course, as all of you know, this was John the Baptist. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Number 14, the Messiah would be rejected by his own people, which of course he was. He was a Jew, and he was rejected by them. The prophecy in Psalm 69 and verse 8, I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. And even his own siblings, as it were, Mary did not defraud Joseph after Christ was born. He was born of a virgin, but after that, she did not defraud him, and he had brothers, and he had at least three sisters. The way the Greek is worded, it requires that there be more than two. We don't know how many sisters he had. Isaiah 53 and verse 3, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. The fulfillment in John 1 and verse 11, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Also John 7 and verse 5, for even his brothers did not believe in him. Number 15, the Messiah would be a prophet. I've heard this battered about quite a bit over the years and wondered if Christ was a prophet or not. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. And the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. And we find the fulfillment in Acts 3 and verses 20 through 22. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things whatsoever he says to you. Number 16, the Messiah would be preceded by Elijah. Malachi 4 and verses 5 and 6, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, that he may turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Listen to that, Rod. Lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. And then a fulfillment in Matthew 11, in verses 13 and 14. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. So it showed that, of course, he was preceded by Elijah, and that John the Baptist was the one there who was referred to as Elijah. Number 17, the Messiah would be declared the Son of God. Jesus Christ was not the Son of God until he was born of the flesh. You do not find him referred to in the Old Testament as the Son of God, because he was co-equal with God. And only when he then was begotten by God's Spirit, then he became God's Son. He was willing to, I have used the term, to divest himself. I don't know if I mentioned that here this last Sabbath or not, but divest himself of divinity, and that is not true. If he divested himself of divinity, then he was just a man that died. And if just a man cannot pay the penalty for all mankind's sin. He was God. He divested himself of his glory And he prayed in John 17 that God would restore that glory. Psalm 2 and verse 7, the Messiah would be declared the Son of God. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. And then the fulfillment in Matthew 3 and verses 16 and 17. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting upon him. Of course, he already had God's Spirit. He was born with God's Spirit. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Number 18, the Messiah would be called a Nazarene or Nazarite. In Isaiah 11 and verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. So a prophecy that owned by the Jews, so to speak, that they claimed unto themselves to belong to the Messiah, which was now fulfilled in Jesus, who was a descendant of Jesse's family. So by dwelling in Nazareth, he appeared to be and would be called a Nazarene or Nazarite. The fulfillment in Matthew 2 and verse 23. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. 19. The Messiah would bring light to Galilee. Isaiah 9 and verses 1 and 2. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali and the land of the Gentiles. These people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them light has shined. And in Matthew 4, and verses 13 through 16, we read about Christ being that light. And leaving Nazareth, he came to dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. So, of course, Christ was that light, which I think is interesting. Satan the devil was supposed to be the light bringer. He was known as Lucifer, which means light bringer, but instead of bringing light, he brought chaos and darkness. Number 20. The Messiah would speak in parables. In Proverbs 78 and verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Also in Isaiah 6 and verse 9 through 10, and he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing and do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return to be healed. And then a fulfillment in Matthew 13, verses 10 through 15. And the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to them in parables? I heard a minister on the radio just a very few months ago, maybe 2 months ago, and he asked this question, why did Christ speak to them in parables? And he went on to answer it, and he said, because it was an agrarian society, so he used examples of agriculture and sheep and cattle and so forth so that they could understand what he was saying. But notice what Christ says, the reason why he spoke to them in parables. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whosoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whosoever does not have, then he says, whatever he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you shall hear, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, in other words, and be converted, so that I should heal them. 21. The Messiah would be sent to heal the brokenhearted. And how many times has he helped us? The prophecy in Isaiah 61 and verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, in the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those who mourn. And we find the fulfillment of that prophecy in Luke 4 and verses 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and recover the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The 22nd prophecy that I wanted to go through is a Messiah would be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Like I said, he was not a priest according to the line of Levi. In Psalm 110 and verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And then the fulfillment in Hebrews 5 and verse 5 and 6. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was said, he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And as he says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Then 23, the Messiah was prophesied to be king. In Psalm 2 and verse 6 says, yet I have set my king on the holy hill of Zion. Also the prophecy in Zechariah 9 and verse 9, rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion, shout, O daughters of Jerusalem, and behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding on a donkey, a colt, and a foal of a donkey. And of course, then we find that fulfillment in Matthew 27. And they put up over his head after he was crucified the accusation written against him, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. I think most of you got my email and explained. I said in the sermon that there were only two things and two things only that were nailed to the stake, and that was the body of Christ and your sins. But there was a third thing, which was this sign that they put up, a King of the Jews. Also fulfilled in Mark 11 and verses 7 through 11, which is a great deal of talk on the radio and television now about when Christ, of course, came in, they call it Palm Sunday, and rode the donkey. Then they brought, Mark 11 and verse 7 through 11, then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches of the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of our Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. And so when he had looked around all these things, as the hour was already late, he went to Bethany with the 12. Number 24. The Messiah would be praised by little children. In Psalms 8 and verse 2, it says, the praise of the children and infants you have established at the stronghold against your enemies to silence the foes and the avengers. And a fulfillment in Matthew 21 and verse 16. Do you hear what these children are saying? They ask him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read that from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise? They had more intelligence than their parents had. Don't listen to that, Rod. Number 25, the Messiah would be betrayed by a friend. Pretty specific prophecy. Psalm 41 and verse 9. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, you ate my bread and has lifted up his hand against me. Also Zechariah 11 and verses 12 and 13. Then I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, and if not, refrain. So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, throw it into the potter, that princely price that they set on me. And so I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. And then in fulfillment in Luke 22 and verse 47 and 48, and while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude. And he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Also fulfillment in Matthew 26 and verses 14 through 16. And one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. It was like that it just literally possessed his mind that he had to betray him. 26, the Messiah's price monies would be used to buy the potter's field, as we just read earlier in Zechariah. In Zechariah 11, verse 11 through 13, he said that he got the price, and then, so he said he took at the end the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. And then the fulfillment, Matthew 27, and verses 9 and 10. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying that they also took 30 pieces of silver and the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Number 27. The Messiah would be falsely accused. Prophesied in Psalm 35 and verse 11. False witnesses rise up, and they ask me things that I do not know. In other words, he was accused of things that he didn't even know how to answer because he hadn't done them. Fulfilled in Mark 14 and verses 57 and 58. Then some rose and bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. And so they took some truth, but they twisted it to use against him. Number 28, prophesied that the Messiah would be silent before his accusers. In Isaiah 53 and verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Fulfilled in Mark 15 and verses 4 and 5. And then Pilate asked him, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they have testified against you." But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. 29. Prophesied that the Messiah would be spat upon and be struck. Isaiah 50 and verse 6. "I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." Fulfillment in Matthew 26 and verse 67. "And then they spat in his face, and they beat him, and others struck him with the palm of their hands." I think a better translation there is they struck him with rods. Number 30, the Messiah would be hated without cause. In Psalm 35 and verse 19, it says, "Let them not rejoice over me who are wrongfully my enemies, nor let them wink with the eye who hate me without a cause." Also in Psalm 69 and verse 4, "Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They are mighty who would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully. Though I have stolen nothing, I still must restore it." Also in fulfillment here, John 15 and verses 24 and 25. "If I had not done away them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law, 'They hated me without a cause.'" 31. The Messiah was prophesied to be crucified with criminals. Isaiah 53 and verse 12. "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors." Fulfilled in Matthew 27 and verse 38. "Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left." Also in Mark 15 and verses 27 and 28. "With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled which said, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.'" 32. The Messiah would be given vinegar to drink. Some of these prophecies are amazing how technical and small they seem to be. In Psalm 69 and verse 21, Psalm 69 and verse 21, "They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." And we read about the fulfillment in Matthew 27 and verse 34. "They gave him sour wine and mingled with gall to drink, but when he tasted it, he would not drink." 33. The Messiah's hands and feet would be pierced. Prophecy in Psalm 22 and verse 16. "For dogs have surrounded me, and the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." Most scholars acknowledge that Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, and Isaiah 52 directly tie in with Jesus Christ, and you hear those used quite a bit. But most of the scriptures that he fulfilled, you don't hear that much about. And that's why I wanted to cover this. In Zechariah 12 and verse 10, says, I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one who grieves for a firstborn. And the fulfillment in John 20 and verse 25 and 27. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. And so he said to them, Unless I see his hands, and of course you know this was Thomas, who was nicknamed Doubting Thomas, unless I see his hands in the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side where the sword or spear was pushed, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them this time. And Jesus came, and the door being shut, and he stood in the midst of them, and he said, Peace to you. And then he said to Thomas, Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Number 34, the Messiah would be mocked and ridiculed. In Psalm 22 and verses 7 and 8, all those who see me ridicule me. They shout, they shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Making fun of him. Then in Luke 23 and verse 35, we find the fulfillment. And the people stood looking on him, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. Number 35, it was prophesied that the soldiers would gamble for the Messiah's garments. In Psalm 22, and verse 18. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. We find the fulfillment in Luke 23 and verse 34. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. Also Matthew 27 and verse 35 and 36. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Setting down, they keep watch over him there. Number 36, the Messiah's bones would not be broken. To me, that is one of the most remarkable prophecies and miracles that took place with Christ. When you look at the horrible, horrible beating that he suffered, it virtually would be humanly impossible not to have broken bones. And even when the soldiers jabbed the sword or the spear into his side, he would have had to have done it just so, or he would have broken bones that had to go between the ribs. In Exodus 12, we read the prophecy in verse 46, talking about the Passover, and it says, In one house it shall be eaten, and you shall not carry any of the flesh outside of the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. Of course, a prophecy about Jesus, who was going to be the Passover lamb. Also in Psalm 34 and verse 20, He guards all of his bones, not one of them is broken. Then we read the fulfillment in John 19 and verse 33 through 36. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, and they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who had seen had testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. 37. Prophesied that the Messiah would be forsaken by God. In Psalm 22 and verse 1, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? And of course, you read the fulfillment in Matthew 27 and verse 46. And about the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Christ cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? 38. The Messiah was prophesied to pray for his enemies. In Psalm 109 and verse 4, in return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. Fulfilled in Luke 23 and verse 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing, and they have divided up his clothes by casting lots. Number 39. The soldiers would pierce the Messiah's side. In Zechariah 12 and verse 10, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In John 19 and verse 34, the fulfillment, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And according to medical journals, that's how they knew that he was dead, because a lot of blood didn't just pour out all of a sudden, but blood and water mixed came together. Number 40. You didn't think we'd get there, did you? The Messiah would be buried with the rich. Isaiah 53 and verse 9. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. We find the fulfillment in Matthew 27 and verse 57 through 60. Now when the evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, that Pilate commanded then the body to be given to him. Then Joseph had taken the body, and he wrapped it in clean linen cloth, and he laid it in his new tomb, no one had ever been buried there before, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. 41. The Messiah would be resurrected from the dead. He was prophesied to die and then to be resurrected. In Psalm 16 and verse 10, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, or the grave, nor will you allow the Holy One to see, your Holy One to see corruption. Also prophesied in Psalm 49 and verse 15, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. Fulfilled in Matthew 28 and verses 2 through 7. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone of the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and became like dead men. Here were these strong, masculine Roman soldiers who basically feared nothing, didn't fear death or anything, and they passed out like a weak little kitten. But the angel answered and said unto the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, and see the place where the Lord lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, and behold, I have told you. Also, we read a fulfillment in Acts, the second chapter, which, of course, is the day of Pentecost, in verse 22 through 32. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, and I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, or in the grave, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me fulfill my joy in your presence. Men and brethren, in verse 29, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both now dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, that he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Number 42, the Messiah would ascend to heaven. Psalm 24 and verse 7 through 10. Lift up your hands, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. And it was fulfilled in Mark 16 and verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up in the heavens, and he sat down on the right hand of God. Also Luke 24 and verse 51. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. 43, only two more. The Messiah would be seated at God's right hand. The Messiah would be seated at God's right hand. The prophecy in Psalm 68 and verse 18. And when you ascend on high, you took many captive. You received gifts from people, even from the rebellious, that you, Lord God, might dwell there. Also in Psalm 110 and verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Fulfilled in Mark 16 and verse 19. So then, after he had spoken to them, he was received up into the heavens, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Also fulfilled in Matthew 22 and verse 44. The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. Then 44, the last one. Hooray, a miracle has happened. You actually lived through it. The Messiah would be a sacrifice for sin. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5 through 12, but he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he was oppressed, and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and his sheep before the shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. And yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. And by his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and he made intercession for their transgressors. And in Romans, the 5th chapter, in verses 6 through 8, we read about the fulfillment. And when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, and yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I do believe it's absolutely amazing, the detail in the Old Testament, and we covered approximately one-tenth of the prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ and how he fulfilled that. But I do hope this was encouraging to you, especially this time of year, that we know, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus was the Christ, and that Jesus Christ died for us, and there was no other, that by that name and his name only can we be saved. In 1 John 4, in closing, in verse 1, 1 John 4 and verses 1 through 3, if a person doesn't believe that Jesus Christ came as God in the flesh, then they do not have a Savior. They do not have the prophesied Messiah. 1 John 4, verses 1 through 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have come into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and now already is in the world. Well, brethren, I know that some of this is laborious and downright boring, I guess, but I think we needed the background to understand. I have never heard a sermon about the prophecies of Christ. I cannot remember it anyway. I don't ever remember seeing a list. And like I said, we covered approximately one-tenth of the passages in the Old Testament that Jesus Christ fulfilled.